Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am fired up for today's show. Apparently, Thursday, unbeknownst to me, was do the Packers need a number one wide receiver day on the entire Packers sphere. There's some other stuff going on as well. I know the whole Josh Jacobs, Packers in Brazil, armored vehicles, can't wear green thing popped up again. Go check out Packers Brazil for the entire breakdown of that. We don't need to, you know, go over all of that today because I want to focus in on what the other conversations were about. Now, first of all, we had some great articles out there. Rob Domofsky on ESPN, his article, quote, could Jaden Reed emerge as the Packers wide receiver one? Matt Schneidman over on The Athletic, no wide receiver one, no problem for Jordan Love and Packers promising offense. Both articles, fantastic, by the way, both go check them out. I think Wes Hodd and Jason Wilde both were writing about Bo Melton. Steve Zabin and Brian Butch, we were talking on the Thursday morning show and they asked me about the Packers' need for a number one wide receiver. And then, of course, Bleacher Report comes along and they're looking at potential CeeDee Lamb trades. And they talk about the Packers trading. This is the article. This is not going to happen, but this is the article. The hypothetical trade here was either Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs, one of those two, plus Jaden Reed, plus a second round pick for CeeDee Lamb. We don't need to go into all of that either because that could be a whole conversation and topic in and of itself. Suffice to say, Green Bay would not be interested in that trade. One thing I do want to mention here, though, I saw some Cowboys fans saying that Dallas would never in a million years do that deal with Green Bay. I think one of the things that gets lost in these conversations sometimes, just a quick aside here, is that sometimes deals can be bad for both teams. I don't necessarily expect that Dallas fans or maybe even Dallas would be interested in trading CeeDee Lamb, even if they could get two young wide receivers and a second round pick out of it. Should Dallas do that deal? Yeah, they should. Should Green Bay do that deal for CeeDee Lamb? No, they shouldn't. People underestimate all the time because they get Madden and fantasy football brain rot, the impact of $35 million contracts. And when you trade for a player, let's say in this case, the Packers trading for a CeeDee Lamb, they have to immediately give that player maybe the largest wide receiver contract in the NFL, or at least something on par with Justin Jefferson. That's going to be a problem when you have to pay Jordan Love. And Dallas might have every want and desire to pay CeeDee Lamb. That's fine. You know, they may not be interested in that deal. It's okay. Dallas fans may not like that deal for Dallas, and that's okay. Green Bay fans should not like that deal for Green Bay, and that's okay too. That was a quick aside, but this seemed to be everyone, everywhere, all at once talking about this idea that the Packers need a number one wide receiver, that they need to trade for CeeDee. And this is not new, by the way. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. We talked about, do the Packers need to bring back Davante Adams? And I've talked about that. We talked about, do the Packers need to trade for T. Higgins? We've talked about that. We could have the same conversation about Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, or any other wide receiver that you want to bring up in this conversation. And my answer every single time is going to be no. I am good. I am good with the way things are. And here's the other thing. No, they don't need to trade for a wide receiver. No, they don't need to sign one, or they didn't need to sign one in free agency. They didn't need to draft one. And I don't even necessarily need a true, legitimate wide receiver one to step up out of this wide receiver group. But let's start there. Let's start there because it's the most important place to start. Can we have a minute? Can we have a minute for these players to progress a little bit, to have some time to marinate in this offense and see what they can become? This is an ultra-talented group of wide receivers, 1 through 5. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Dontayvion Wicks, and yes, even Bo Melton. That is an ultra-talented group of 5 wide receivers. And can we give them a second? Because Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, both coming off their rookie seasons. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, both have only had 2 years in the league. And Bo Melton, 1 year, well, let's see, no, 2 years in the league as well. So he was a rookie 2 years ago. Packers signed him off the practice squad, didn't play 2 years ago, got to finally play last year. These are all two-year players or rookies that are in this offense still. Like, these are not veteran players. Need I remind you for a moment that one of your favorite wide receivers in Packers history, if not your favorite wide receiver in Packers history, Davante Adams, he's up there, right? Wherever you want to put him, 1, 5, 6, 3, 2, wherever you want to put him, he's one of them. There were many that were ready to release Davante Adams after year two in Green Bay. Cut Davante Adams was all over Twitter. There were many, not many, that's another hyperbole, but there were some who even wanted Jeff Janis above Davante Adams in that after that second season or during that second season. Davante Adams, spoiler alert, turned out okay. There have been some pretty good Packers wide receivers. Do you know, again, in year two for Davante Adams, he had 50 catches, 483 yards, 9.7 yards per reception and a touchdown. Year two, Davante Adams. Jordy Nelson in year two, 22 catches, 320 yards, 14.5 yards per catch and two touchdowns. Donald Driver in year two, 21 catches, 322 yards, 15.3 yards per reception, one touchdown. Even Antonio Freeman, all right, this is a pretty good season from Antonio. Only 56 catches, 933 yards, 16.7 yards per catch. That's pretty darn good. Nine touchdowns, pretty darn good. But still, only 56 catches. That's year two. That's the good one of that group. All right. Jaden Reed, as a rookie, 64 catches, more than any of those aforementioned wide receivers in year two. This was rookie Jaden Reed, 64 catches, 793 yards, more than anyone not named Antonio Freeman from that group, 12.4 yards per reception, and eight touchdowns, second to only Antonio Freeman with nine. Romeo Doubs, in year two, 59 catches, more than Adams, Nelson, Driver, Freeman, 674 yards, more than anyone but Freeman, 11.4 yards per reception, eight touchdowns, more than anyone but Freeman. All right. Dontayvion Wicks, as a rookie, not a second year guy, just a rookie, 39 catches, more than anyone except for Freeman and Adams, so more than Nelson or Driver in their second seasons, 581 yards, more than anyone besides Freeman, 14.9 yards per reception, only behind Driver and Freeman, and four touchdowns, only behind Freeman. All right. Christian Watson as a rookie. I know he was oft injured in his second season, had some injuries in his rookie season as well, but rookie Christian Watson had 41 catches for 611 yards, 14.9 yards per reception, and seven touchdowns. Boy, that kind of seems like the Green Bay Packers have four pretty young, talented wide receivers that could easily all still develop into a number one wide receiver. And that's not even including a Bo Melton, who, yes, I am high enough on to think that there is at least a world in the multiverse where we could talk about Bo Melton ultimately becoming a number one wide receiver. Now, I'm not saying any of them are guaranteed to. I'm not saying that even one out of five necessarily will. I'm not saying that even if one of them does, that it's quite to the level that a Davante Adams or a Justin Jefferson or a CeeDee Lamb are playing at or were playing at. Those guys might just be better. But I have a lot of faith that at least one of those guys probably going to turn out into a legitimate bona fide number one wide receiver. You know, Rob Domofsky today had a great article on potentially that being Jaden Reed. Sure, I could see that. I could easily see Dontayvion Wicks. I could easily see Christian Watson. Well, I think it's a little less likely. Romeo Doubs and Bo Melton certainly in that conversation as well. And we should remember that Romeo Doubs, maybe outside of maybe Melton, maybe the least likely of that group, is coming off a pretty epic performance in both of those playoff games combined, specifically against the Cowboys when playoff football, you know, was, you know, at its most important and they needed to get wins. Romeo Doubs stepped up and took that by, and also, you know, Jordan Love seems to have a very good rapport with Romeo as well. So just that in and of itself, can we give these guys that are basically like right around that 24-year-old age range that are in year one or year two or coming off of year one or year two in their careers, Can we give them a moment to see if one of these guys can potentially become that guy? Because again, guys like, Antonio Freeman, almost there, but Driver, Nelson, Adams, it took a second. It took a moment for those guys to get there. Let's give these five their opportunity to see if they can get there. That's just number one on my list. Number two is Matt LaFleur's superpower, which we have talked about ad nauseum. He knows how to find mismatches. That is his ability. That is one of his great strengths as an offensive play caller and as a coach. It's how to attack a specific defense with what they're trying to run and how to find mismatches within that defense. And that could be mismatches, meaning he found flaws within the defense that they're trying to call, tells of when they're going to call cover two, cover three, cover four, man coverage, press man, whatever it might be, and then have man beaters or whatever dialed up for those specific style of defenses. Having checks within plays and plays within plays to be able to attack the style of defense that Jordan Love recognizes at the line of scrimmage, and the ability to utilize a variety of different players to attack specific opposing players on the opposing team's defense. And here's what I love. And this kind of transitions into number three on this list as well, is that it's not just the wide receivers. That's where we need to get over this as well. And I'm not necessarily also saying that Luke Musgrave or Tucker Kraft are going to develop into a number one top five tight end in this league. But guess what? On the whole, Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Bo Melton, who am I missing? Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd. That is a pretty extensive group of players that could step up in any given moment. And when you have them with all different flavors and types of players, you've got a number nine, Christian Watson, who can run the nine and beat you downfield with his speed. And he has playmaking within the offense as well, run after the catch ability, size, speed, strength, agility, all of it. He can be your speed guy down the field. Bo Melton can stretch the field and in a different way than Christian Watson does. Jaden Reed, sort of your gadget playmaker type. You can run him in the slot. You can do a variety of different things with him. Romeo Doubs over the middle. Malik Heath is going to be your blocker. Dontayvion Wicks is going to be your route runner extraordinaire. Luke Musgrave is going to be your seam guy. Tucker Kraft, your overall tight end. Ben Sims, your blocking tight end that can use a lot of play action stuff with him as well. Josh Jacobs, your overall back. Marshawn Lloyd, a speed back out of the backfield. AJ Dillon, a power back. You are giving Matt LaFleur every ingredient that he needs. There are very few other ingredients that are out there that you could even call for within a given offense outside of maybe a dynamic H-back, which I'm not willing to count out somebody like Tucker Kraft to be able to do within this offense. He's got everything. And that's, again, where his strength lies. Oh, you're going to give me all of these ingredients? Okay, I know how to use all of them and get you in specific situations that are going to be advantageous for us against every single type of opponent that they play. And that is far more important, having those different types, the variety, than just having a Davante Adams, one guy who can do everything really well, but teams can scheme to take that guy away. I would much, much, much rather have it where you have the variety of weapons that you need so that you have everything in your tool belt. It's not just, one weapon in your disposal. And if that weapon malfunctions or they shut down that weapon, you've got nothing else to go to. The Packers have everything to go to. There's nothing they don't have at their disposal. That's what makes this special with Matt LaFleur as his superpower ability to find these mismatches with all these toys that he has. That's what's fun about this. And that's why I'm so bullish on this offense as a whole. And that's the other thing too, is the structure of this offense isn't set for a number one guy. It's not set up. The Packers and Matt LaFleur made concessions for Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams because of how special their connection was, but it was not within the scheme of the offense. And I've said this a million times. If I were quarterback, I would be spamming Davante Adams too. I would be looking his direction almost every play too. But it wasn't the offense. It wasn't what it was supposed to look like. And so many times, Rodgers saw stuff with Adams and would try to check the stuff, and they could, have that ESP and know what each other were going to do. And a lot of times it worked in some extremely spectacular ways. But there were also times where that undercut the design of the offense. It undercut the play that was called by Matt LaFleur. And sometimes that's okay because it results in an 80-yard touchdown or whatever magic that Aaron and Devontae were able to cook up. But other times, it can be at the detriment to the running game. It can be at the detriment to calling a play now to set up a play later that you want to counter something off of later in the game. It can be at the detriment of, again, maybe getting a read on the defense by, you know, figuring out something early in the game that you're going to call to see what they're going to go against. You're not upset when Aaron checks to something and gets it to Devontae and they make a play out of it. But there are some times when you're looking at a specific player that often and maybe going outside of the design of the offense that there can be some limitations or some fallbacks to that type of system as well. And I think we saw that a little bit in Green Bay. And as you know, Aaron struggled in the playoffs, specifically against the 49ers, there were times where he was looking Devontae's way a bit too much. There's no two ways about it. And the 49ers were ready for it and they had him covered. And Green Bay didn't necessarily have a great answer for it. Hey friends, the NHL and NBA Finals are officially here, and we have two matchups that should be absolutely epic. We've got Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers versus Sam Reinhart and the Florida Panthers, and of course, the one and only Luka Doncic and the Mavs versus Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics. I cannot freaking wait. And the main reason I am so excited is because I can't wait to get my Prize Picks lineups in for both of these incredible matchups, which of course is going to maximize my excitement. If you're not familiar with Prize Picks, you should know that one, it's America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. And in as little as 60 seconds, you can put together your Prize Picks lineup and could turn $10 into $1,000 in any single NHL or NBA Finals game this summer. And I know what some of you are already thinking. You'll probably pick Luka Doncic and he's probably going to get hurt. Well, guess what? Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, Prize Picks has your back and that will not count as a loss. This week, I'm going to be looking at PJ Washington and Derek White in the Celtics-Mavs matchups and Leon Draisaitl for the Oilers against the Panthers. While you're thinking about who you're going to pick, just remember that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. So those are all things so far. The other thing, and we'll just kind of continue on this right here, as great as the Rodgers-Devontae connection was, as great as it made Aaron as an MVP quarterback two times, as great as it made this offense at times, it didn't get them over the hump. They did not win a Super Bowl. They had the MVP quarterback two times in that span within this offense and quite arguably, and I would just argue it, the best wide receiver in football, and it wasn't good enough. Now, there's other circumstances, certainly the Packers' defense, but against the 49ers, when they couldn't put up any points, yeah, it's cold. Yeah, it's Green Bay. It's weather, whatever. That's what's going to happen, you know, come that time of year. So you got to be ready for it. You have to be multiple. You have to have different things that you can go to. It never got them over the hump. And I'm not saying here that every single team in the NFL wouldn't love to have a Davante Adams, a Justin Jefferson, a CeeDee Lamb, enter whatever amazing wide receiver you want into that conversation. Every team would take one of those guys. No question about it. But there are multiple ways to win in this league, and you don't always need to have this alpha, unbelievable number one wide receiver to make it happen. And as I've talked about before too, the Packers right now are the envy of the league with what they have at wide receiver. To have the depth that they have at wide receiver, to have the talent that they have at wide receiver, to have the youth that they have at wide receiver, to have the controllable seasons remaining with these wide receivers, and all of them on extremely cheap contracts? There is not a team in the NFL that wouldn't want exactly that, especially as we're starting to see guys get $30, $35 million contracts per season for one wide receiver. Green Bay doesn't have to do that. They have this plethora of weapons on the roster that are making next to nothing comparatively. Basically like a third of what some of the top wide receivers are making, less than that, almost a fourth of what these top wide receivers, just one top wide receiver is making, this collective group is making a fourth of that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So that is, again, the envy of the league. Nobody would, you know, raise their nose at that and say, no, we wouldn't want that. It is exactly what teams would love to have at that position. You also have to remember too, with Love's contract coming up, they are going to need some cheap contracts places. There are ways to win with an expensive quarterback, but you have to figure out ways to pay a little bit less at some other positions. And right now, wide receiver, they're making next to nothing. Tight end, they're making next to nothing. Offensive line, only Elgton Jenkins at this point is making anything. There, you have the ability to pay a guy like Jordan Love more money when a lot of your other core players on offense aren't making anything. The only other guy is Josh Jacobs, and he's on like a one-year deal. And again, like they'll kind of wait and see with what Jacobs looks like to commit to any more seasons under him or with him. They have the ability to give Love that contract and put weapons on defense because of the flexibility they have and that they're not currently paying a number one wide receiver. And also, when you are paying a quarterback $50+ million per year, what you're hoping and what should theoretically be the case is that they don't need the best of the best of the best at wide receiver. That they are that dude that can help other wide receivers become great because of their greatness. That they are leading this team, they're throwing receivers open, and they are setting up this offense for success kind of in and of themselves. I'm not sure that Jordan is quite entirely there yet, that we can just say, hey, yeah, he could go out there with Bill Schroeder as his number one wide receiver, like Brett had to do at times, and he could just go out and win a bunch of games. I'm not sure we're there, but I do believe that Matt and Jordan together, you could put maybe a lesser group of wide receivers and still have success in offense. And we've seen that with Matt in the past when some of these top receivers have been out, even when Devontae's been out in the past, they are still successful. Another thing, these wide receivers, they're developing alongside Jordan Love, and they have been. They've their entire career so far, which is albeit very short, they have been in lockstep with Jordan Love's progression. Jordan Love has a familiarity with these wide receivers, and these wide receivers are a very tight-knit group. They are, by all accounts, cheering on each other, even when they're not the guy in a particular player in a specific game. That is rare in the NFL. And bringing in some new number one wide receiver or trying to do something like that would probably upset that chemistry. And maybe there would start being some jealousy, especially when maybe it's an outside player coming in. A lot of egos can get in the way of that stuff. There does not seem to be that ego. Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks are working together in the offseason. There seems to be a lot of love for the other players within that locker room. And again, that is a special chemistry that you want to continue to foster, not tear apart. And as we talked about some of those wide receiver contracts, the $35 million per year, I'm very curious to see how this is going to head. Meaning, are teams going to continue to do that? Are they going to give these huge exorbitant contracts to wide receivers? That certainly seems to be the flavor of the week right now. Or does this become a little bit more running back-ish? Meaning, hey, we can find these guys. And does Green Bay just say, hey, well, we're just going to let Romeo and Christian walk because we still have Wicks and Melton and Reed, and we feel like we can go draft more players and still have really good wide receivers. This was a unbelievable wide receiver draft that had, I think, the most wide receivers ever taken in a given draft. And there was depth throughout the entirety of it. There were top-end players at the top, really good players still in round twos, threes, and even on day three, where you could find talented wide receivers. You don't necessarily need to go out and spend a ton of money because you can find these guys. And Green Bay's been able to do so. And along with that, you usually don't go out and sign big-time number one wide receiver or any position or trade big-time capital for a position when you're amazing at drafting and developing those players yourself. The Packers have done phenomenally finding and developing and drafting wide receivers when they've invested in it. And they certainly have. And as of late, you know, hitting on Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, you know, Christian Watson obviously needs to stay healthy. And then finding a Bo Melton off a practice squad, Malik Heath as an undrafted free agent, they know how to find these guys. So you usually are not going to go put a ton of resources into that position when you know you can find wide receivers and you're really good at it as a franchise. I'll go one more further too with the sort of you know, sort of alpha of like, oh, they have to have a number one. I think what happens sometimes, I know what happens sometimes, is the quarterback starts to feel some pressure. We've got to get the ball to our number one guy. And the wide, that number one guy, he wants the ball. He's demanding the ball. When he doesn't get it, he's frustrated a lot of times. Like I said, there's some ego that is involved in that. If you have that feeling, you may not go through your progressions the way that you're supposed to. You may miss an open wide receiver somewhere else because you're trying to always look a certain way because you think you got to try to get that guy the ball. If Green Bay all of a sudden tomorrow did trade for a number one wide receiver, or you know that somehow found that wide receiver and they had that alpha mentality, I'm sure it's going to change Jordan Love's, you know, sort of mentality a little bit. How would it not? If they would go out and somehow trade for a guy or you know whatever it might be, he's of course going to feel like, oh, I better feature that guy. And that's not what's best for this team. It's not what's best for this, you know, specific roster. It's not what's best for Jordan. It's not what's best for the you know offense being able to put up points. Let the offense run organically. Let the guys get open within the scheme of the offense. Let Jordan go through his progressions the way that the offense is designed, and then find the open man, rip the ball, and hit those completions. That's when this offense is going to be at its best. And I could, you know, talk about the Kansas City Chiefs here too. Now, last year, their best wide receivers in the Super Bowl, Mecole Hardman led the way with 3 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Justin Watson, 3 catches, 54 yards. Rashee Rice, 6 catches, 39 yards. And MVS had 3 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown. Now, I'm hesitant because when you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, you know, those guys are a cheat code in and of themselves. And as good as Jordan is, we're not comparing him to Mahomes. And as good as maybe Musgrave and Kraft might be, we're not comparing them to Kelce. So it's a bit of a different animal. But they just won a Super Bowl without having a big-time alpha number one wide receiver. And you can look back at the Packers' like last two Super Bowl wins as well. Now, in 2010, they had some big-time wide receivers. Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, James Jones, Donald Driver. But they had Aaron go through his progressions. Those guys were unselfish. And you kind of hit the open man, kind of similar to what you would have with a Reed, a Watson, a Wicks, and a Dobbs out on the field. Or maybe a Bo Melton. In 96, and I know 96 now is like a different brand of football entirely, but that season was led by Antonio Freeman with 56 catches for 933 yards. Keith Jackson with 40 catches was the number two pass catcher. Don Beebe was 3 with 39 catches. 4 was Edgar Bennett. 5 was Dorsey Levins. 6 was Mark Chimura. 7 was the fullback, William Henderson. Only 2 wide receivers on that list. Freeman with 56 and Don Beebe with 39. That was their top two receivers in the regular season of 96. It doesn't necessarily have to be this big time number one alpha guy catching 120 balls. That may not be what's always best for the offense. Listen, the Packers have depth at wide receiver. They have playmakers. They have cheap playmakers. They have talent and they have potential number ones. They have different types and different flavors. And if the Packers don't win the Super Bowl this year, I will look you in the eye right now and tell you it will not be due to playmaking at wide receiver or not having a quote-unquote number one guy. So whether Brandon Ayuk or CeeDee Lamb or T. Higgins or Tom Grassi or any other number one potential wide receiver comes along, the Packers don't have to have that guy in order to be successful. They don't have to have that guy within this offense to go out and win a Super Bowl. I truly, truly believe that. So as the world was spun on its axis and everyone wanted to talk about wide receiver one, let me just say they do not have to have that number one wide receiver. Give me Dobbs and Wicks and Melton and Watson and Musgrave and Kraft and Jacobs and Lloyd and Dylan and Sims and Heath and all of those guys. Give me the entire core that the Packers have and I will take my chances. And basically, it kind of boils down to this. Do I trust Matt LaFleur as a play caller and as a play designer to get guys open and to figure out mismatches? My answer is yes. Do I trust Jordan Love to go through his progressions, find the right player, let Matt cook, and then have him deliver on time within the rhythm of the offense? I do. I do trust Jordan as well. And do I trust these weapons, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, all of them to do their job, their 111th, and do what's asked of them within this offense and be the playmakers that Jordan Love needs for this offense to be successful? The answer is yes. What more do you need? I trust the play caller. I trust the QB. I trust the weapons. This is going to be a very, very good offense. I'm much more concerned, as I have been the entire time, on the offensive line than I have any concern over who's going to be the quote-unquote number one wide receiver in this offense. They are going to be just fine, a top offense in this league, and they're going to do it all without a true alpha number one guy, whatever we want to call it. Book on it, bank it, put it in ink. I'll do the Charles Barkley guarantee right now. That's what I'm going to end with, the Charles Barkley guarantee. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Hwang, and Arnaldo Espinoza. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.